Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the Sharks Training Camp Report.
All kinds of surprises happening every single training camp in the National Hockey League, and 2024-25 is no exception for San Jose Sharks hockey. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Rusinowski. Imagine my delight to see some practice sessions on the ice and see Brianna Decker, a legendary U.S. women's hockey player, on the ice and doing some work and consulting with the San Jose Sharks organization. Brianna, it is great to have you with us to talk about your experiences so far in training camp. How did it all come about?
Yeah, thank you, Dan, for having me. You know, honestly, it was I've known Mike Greer for a while. Him and some old NHL guys used to suit up and play against our team leading into the 2014 Olympics. And so when we were out in Boston, so I've kind of kept in touch with him ever since. And he would come to some of our games when we played in certain areas where he was traveling to. And so, you know, just having that connection with him, he's asked me to come out a few times and I haven't been able to make it work. And this year I did. And I was obviously super grateful for the experience.
What do you make of the fact that so many National Hockey League teams are deliberately opening their arms to all of these great athletes that played women's hockey once their careers are over and they have so much to give to the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Obviously, being one of those people, it's I'm grateful for that. And I think a lot of the other women who have had opportunities feel the same way. You know, I think the one thing that I realized with the Sharks is this, like, they had such, it was such a family feel when I was there. And, you know, I wasn't just a, you know, check the box type thing to have me out there. And I feel like Mike did a great job at welcoming me and the other guys that were on staff, you know, asked for my opinions about things. And that was, you know, obviously super, super awesome experience.
What do you make of the fact that that you've been through the professional hockey grind, and so perhaps you can relate to what these guys are about to go through even a little bit more than when you were playing for the U.S. national team?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I give a lot of credit to the guys that are, you know, they come to training camp, they get their butts kicked at training camp, and then the season begins and you have an 82-game season. And so, you know, you got to make sure you're taking care of your body and making sure you're taking it one day at a time. But you know, these guys, I give a lot of credit to. Obviously, yeah, as a player, I went through the same grind. But you know what? The most important thing is your sleep. And so I hope some of the younger kids make sure they're concentrating on getting their sleep, because those veteran players can probably say the same thing. Like, you got to make sure you're doing that and taking care of yourself.
One of the things that was a great disappointment for you was you weren't able to play in one of the Olympic games because of a knee injury. So I suppose that that on that side of things, you can probably relate to what Sharks captain Logan Couture is going through with a weird injury that's kept him out for basically 15 months.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the guy. I think, yeah, obviously going through injury at any point in your career is not fun. And it's, you know, you start to, the mental grind is what gets you more than anything. But I think what I learned from my injury is just taking it one day at a time. You got to have goals set out from, you know, week to week and month to month, when you're out for a long period of time. But, you know, you're not hiding when you say, oh yeah, I'm good. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it is hard. But that's why you have great, you know, they have great staff there that can help get him through that. And then he's got, you know, some great teammates, some young kids and some good, you know, older leaders that will help out as well.
We're visiting with Brianna Decker, women's hockey legend, Wisconsin native, won the Patty Kazmaier Trophy, which is the Hobie Baker equivalent in the women's game in college hockey, and of course represented the United States, played professional hockey, scored a hat trick, the first one in the history of that league, and has done so many things. I want to ask about what everybody asks about. We talk to these players now and they say, how has this game changed since you started playing? And then we talk to the coaches and we say, how much has this game changed since you were playing the game? How about for you, as you're observing it, how much has the game of hockey changed?
I mean, the amount of skill level is incredible. You know, I think whether I'm out at camp with the Sharks or I'm, you know, coaching back home here at Shattuck St. Mary's with U19 girls, it's the amount of skill that these players have has grown so much. And then obviously the speed of the game, how fast players are and being able to make certain plays at high speeds. And I think that's where, you know, it really separates, you know, the great from the good. And And that's what's fun to be able to watch and follow.
In the women's game, where does it come from? Just the total acceptance of wanting to be an athlete.
You know, our sport has grown so much, and it's been able, you know, being able to be see that transition from, you know, where our game was when I first started playing for the U.S. team to then where it was when I ended. The visibility aspect of things and, you know, players and young kids being able to see that this can actually be them at some point, that has grown so much, and it's awesome to see.
I suppose it's a way to give young people guidance. I remember if you were to tell me that if I were 18 years of age and I suddenly signed a contract with the National Hockey League team and I got $1 million in cash and I was all totally on my own, I don't know if I'd be alive today. What is it about what makes these kids so prepared? Is it the coaching that they're getting? Is it the fact that there's so much structure now in youth hockey? I mean, like at Shattuck St. Mary's, for example, where you are.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely more structure, and I think a lot has to do with too. A lot of the coaches that have gone on and have played at different levels and had higher levels, they've come back and trying to help the youth game. And I think, you know, the more players like ex-NHL guys or ex-Olympians can get back into the game, they can guide these players into a professional standpoint and accountability standpoint and competitive standpoint so that they're prepared for the next level.
We're visiting with Brianna Decker, who spent a couple of days at Sharks training camp working with the NHL guys. Brianna, I wanted to ask you about this. Brett Hedekin told me, my former broadcast partner, who's now back in the coaching game, that when he coached the women, the one thing that he noticed is that the women actually listen to the coaches. what about when you're working with the men? What is it like?
Yeah, I mean, it varies, right? Like, I think a lot of the guys want to listen and want to get better, and then you know, some guys might have their mind made up, but I will say, yeah, Hedy did say that to us at one point too. He goes, "I really appreciate how much you guys listen to us." And I was like, "Yeah, well, like we're trying to get better." And like at that point too, when we were working with him, we hadn't won a gold medal yet. Our group hadn't won yet. And so it's like, you got to absorb everything. And, you know, I think some of these guys have maybe have gone and won cups, and some have, you know, gotten to the NHL, and that might be what their goal was. You know, I think a lot of them obviously want to win a cup too, but it's whatever mindset you have to what you want to go out and do. You know, I think that sometimes can determine, you know, how much you listen to want to get better every single day.
Now, you're not into it 24 hours a day with these guys for 8 months of the year. You had only a few days to work with the members of the San Jose Sharks. But I just wondered what your observations were, the level of skill and talent and ability of players like Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Quentin Musty, some of the young kids that the Sharks fans are about to enjoy.
Yeah, the fans are going to have a heck of a time being able to watch some of those young kids come up and, you know, do some damage in the NHL, good damage, I should say. And so, you know, obviously Macklin, he already started off the preseason pretty well. I think they're going to have a fun time watching him play. But, you know, the one thing I recognize with some of those young guys, they do want to get better every single day. They're bringing their full effort every single day. And so it's like those are the type of guys that you want to draft and want to be around, you know, your program and your organization, because they're going to excel and hopefully, you know, have some younger guys that come in again in a few years. And like Macklin and Will, like those will be some of those players that are going to mentor some of those young guys.
I want to talk about the changes coming to amateur hockey, especially in the United States. The big thing that came into college hockey, for instance, is the NIL, the name, image, and likeness. Then the ability to go into a transfer portal. And, you know, now you're starting to get the idea that perhaps the NCAA might not be able to maintain its prohibition of major junior players. That's going to get tested in the next couple of years. Before we actually get to all of those changes, I just want to talk about the prep school level. Back when I was playing in high school, you went to prep school. I went to Canterbury in Connecticut. They played Choate. They played Avon. They played all the big schools. And that was kind of a way to be able to skate and play every single day and also get a really good education and try to get to college. We'll leave the junior side of it aside, but what a lot of kids try to do now is instead of going to prep school, they want to go play in the U.S. Hockey League, go to high school, and then play a more of a major junior style of schedule before getting to the NHL. What's the status of prep school hockey and where is it going?
Yeah, I think there's a mix. You know, I think I always, I mean, maybe I'm a little biased because I coach here, but I feel like this is the best of both worlds here. You know, obviously with the guy side, they'll have some guys come in and then they will leave to the USHL or the NTDP program and things like that. And, you know, I think sometimes kids think the grass is greener on the other side, and sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. So it's a little bit of a toss up still, but I think either way, like some, you know, every kid chooses their own path and sometimes it works out for you and other times it doesn't. But at the end of the day, it's up to the kid and how hard they're going to work to get to that next level and, you know, and taking advantage of whatever resources you are, you know, able to have.
Plus, the other side of it, too, is that, you know, everybody has this sort of idea. I want to go play for the Gophers or I want to go play at University of Michigan. And they've got 85 zillion guys that are not only recruited there, but they're also walking on. I went to St. Lawrence. Right. So if you go to a school like that, you're going to play against these guys every night. And isn't it interesting that high school kids often and prep school kids need to be reminded that there are a lot more choices than just a couple of places?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, being a coach here and coaching these kids that, yeah, of course they want to go to these big time schools. And I'm like, hey, there's a lot of other good college programs out there that do it right. And you'll develop as a player. And, you know, sometimes you're going to get more playing time in a certain place than another place. And so it's like, it's right. It's finding the right fit. But I think I would say that's one of the biggest challenges for us coaches, Dan, is just being able to figure out, you know, convince some of these kids that like maybe a different program would be a better fit.
Now, what about the whole transfer portal idea and the NIL and perhaps major junior kids going to the NCAA? What do you think of those things?
I will say, and I don't know if I'm going to have anybody, you know, bash me on this, but it's a wreck, I think. I think it's nuts that it's going on. I think the best part when I played in college was I played for the fun of the game and there was no money involved. And I think, yeah, it's great that some people can get money and finish college, you know, with some money, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want it to take over the mindset in the world and take over, you know, the team chemistry. Some of that stuff will be affected and probably already is affected by that. So I wish it wasn't a thing. I wish kids could just go to college, enjoy playing for the university, enjoy playing for the fun of the game. But that's not the reality anymore.
But also getting the college experience for 4 years. And I'll give you an example. I won't give you any names, but here's an example of one player who was going to an Ivy League school and transferred to a much lesser level of academic institution because it was a slightly higher profile program in the current competitive situation. And so I'm thinking, wait a second, this guy has a chance to get a degree from an Ivy League school. He's probably not going to go to the NHL. I mean, that you have to have that attitude unless you're a first round draft pick. And then he's going to not have that same academic experience or the same social experience for being with the same people and being on campus for 4 years. I guess I'm sounding like I'm on your corner on this one.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the transfer portal is probably more disturbing to me than the NIL just because I'm such like from a loyalty standpoint, like I was like, man, I couldn't picture myself going to Wisconsin for 3 years and then transferring to a different school just my senior year. I don't know. I was just big on, you know, you made the decision what you're doing and, you know, you should stick with it and make the best of it. And that's just my mindset and, you know, people's are different. So to each their own that way.
Well, also related to that, if you have eligibility to play a graduate year, that's a different scenario entirely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is the argument about major junior kids maybe being able to play if they don't sign an NHL contract. And that is, if you get a scholarship to a top Division I school, it's probably worth more in actual dollars than the stipend you would get by playing for the Portland Winterhawks. So, yeah. You know, in that argument, you can say that. But by the same token, I think what the NCAA has said is, well, if you have a kid like, say, Quentin Musty this year for the Sharks, if he doesn't make the Sharks, he goes back to junior and he's signed to a contract. So you're playing against a professional. I think that's probably what's traditionally has bothered them a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's get back to what you're up to now. Obviously, you spent some time with the National Hockey League group of guys. Now you're going back to Shattuck St. Mary's. How has the experience benefited you? And what type of a coach are you trying to be?
Yeah, great question. I think obviously it was a great experience being out with the Sharks, you know, learning from some of those, you know, Greerzy and you know, Wars there, just like those, the coaches and how they handle things and the professionalism and what they expect from their guys every single day on the ice. You know, and I think the thing that's the same, whether you're coaching in the NHL or, you know, here at Shattuck St. Mary's like myself, it's, you know, there's guys who are unbelievable. There's the middle of the pack guys. And there's guys who are just, you know, maybe at the lower end of the totem pole there. And then that's how it is here. And so it's being able to push everybody to the next level and coach a team as if you're coaching all the best guys so that everyone's getting pushed every single day. And so just learning from the camp and bringing it back here, you know, I think it was just a good experience overall.
Well, we're really excited for you, and we're going to be following your coaching career very, very closely. We think you were a great player, but you're going to even be a better coach. And thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Dan.